With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
In John chapter 14, Jesus said this, beginning in verse 6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Now Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." Can you say amen? Amen. Now, these are the words of Jesus. Listen, Jesus looked at his disciples, and he was challenging them to understand that he was God come in the flesh. God wrapped himself in human flesh in the womb of Mary and was born an infant. And we talked about this last week, that if you can't see the humanity of Jesus, it'll be impossible for you to see God inside of you. We have to see the humanity of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of Man, so that we can begin to perceive God living in us. That is the hope of glory, and you're not waiting for it. If you've been born again, then God lives in you. You didn't receive a different kind of a spirit, but the Bible says that you received the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power and the same might that split the Red Sea, that hung every apple on the tree, put every star in the sky, is the power and the person who lives inside of you. Can you say amen? In Romans chapter 1, it says, "For since the beginning of the world, God's invisible qualities have been made known and seen by the things that are created, so that men are without excuse." And if you look at the flowers that God has placed on this earth, and he didn't just place one variety, there are many different varieties, shapes and colors and sizes and fragrances. And you look at the detail of the flower, you look at the immenseness of space and the life that's underneath the waters of the ocean, and something on the inside points toward the Creator. Something on the inside is drawn toward the Creator, because it couldn't happen by itself. It happened by design. It happened through the Word of God. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And all things were created by the Lord Jesus Christ, and for him and in him, things in heaven, things under the earth, and things on the earth were created by him. Nothing that is seen," the Word of God says, "was created without him." Praise the Lord. And yet the Creator of the universe chose to be formed inside of the womb of a teenage girl and come out and be cared for by a man and a woman just like you were, and to be tempted in every way just like you are, but yet he was without sin. Sometimes in our mind's eye, when we see Jesus, We see a Jesus that maybe was portrayed by Hollywood years ago. Or we see a Jesus that he glowed and he didn't really touch the ground. He walked above the ground and he had a little halo that was visible. And everybody knew that he was different and he was holy. But the Word of God says that there was nothing about Jesus that was appealing physically. And that men were appalled by him. Huh. And it's hard for us to see that because we want to see Jesus as something different than we are. But Jesus became a man. And the Word of God says he was made human in every way. Tempted in every way that you're tempted and yet was without sin. But hold on, he was Jesus, the Son of God, yes. And if you've been born again, you're a son of God too. And Jesus is the firstborn among the dead. He is the firstborn of many brethren, which you are now a part of. But if we can't see the humanity of Jesus, again, you can't see the Spirit of God living and dwelling within you. The disciples were with him for 3 years, and they saw him raise the dead. They saw him open blind eyes. They saw deaf ears that instantly could hear. Yet they looked at him naturally. Everybody say, naturally. They looked at him naturally, and they said, okay, now that's good stuff, but show us God. And Jesus said, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities have been made known by what has been made. Look around you. You can see God. Look at the trees and look at the flowers. His fingerprints, his DNA, it's all over creation. But if you can't see God in creation, you can't see him inside of me. And if you're looking at me because, you know, maybe my hair isn't cut quite right, I get tired just like you do. Maybe I get grumpy just like you do. Then at least believe that God is in me because of the evidence of the miracles. If you can't believe my words, then believe what you see, the miracles themselves. How many of you believe that there's wind outside? Do you feel the breeze right now? Do you feel that breeze right now? I just saw a piece of paper go, whew, whew, whew. Now that's evidence of the wind, but I can't see the wind. When a leaf blows across the street or blows across your yard, that is evidence that something is moving it. That is evidence that something is there. Though you can't see it, you may see the dust in the wind, but you don't see the wind. And Jesus said it is the same with those who are born of the Spirit. You can't point to, you can't pick up, you can't put it in an environment to reach. Created over and over again, but you can see the effect of God living in creation. You can see the effect of, because the Bible says, in him we what? We live and we move and we have our being. You can see the effect of God in the Scriptures when we read about Moses parting the Red Sea. When we read about Elijah causing the bitter waters to become sweet. You can see the effect in Daniel's life of God being there when lions didn't maul him, but he treated them like they were pillows. You can see the effect in Jesus' life that everywhere he went, it's in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with something you couldn't see, the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. You could see the effects, but to know God was in him, it took something that started with an F and ended with a H, and that word's faith. And you have to have faith today to see God in creation. You have to have faith today to see God in the Word. In the Scripture. You have to have faith today to see God inside of Jesus in human form, seated at the right hand of God in heavenly realms. Amen. Today we're going to talk about seeing God in the apostles. Now, the whole reason we're discussing these things is not that you are striving to see the invisible, but we're training ourselves to recognize God and to give Him glory when He does. And when we give Him glory, when we give Him praise for the things that He does do in our life, there's a greater flow of His presence, a greater flow of His power, a greater flow of His Spirit through us. Can you say amen? The Word of God says that all of creation, that's every rock, every tree, every river, is crying out, groaning, longing to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Longing to see it liberated from this decay that Adam subjected to. I'm longing to see the sons of God in this place revealed. First, to yourself in the eyes of your understanding. That you could see Jesus being formed in you. Christ, the resurrected one. His very Spirit growing inside of you. Longing, pressuring, pushing to get out. That there's something on the inside of you that is affecting change inside of you and beginning to affect change on the outside of you. And that change will begin to affect around you. And Isaiah says that there was a river of fresh water that went into the Dead Sea, and where there was nothing of life in the sea. But wherever this river went, that Dead Sea began to teem with new life. Say new life. Let me give you a picture of that. The sea is full of salt. It's full of minerals. It's too heavy of a concentration to let anything live in it. Fish can't live in it. Crawdads can't live in it. But fresh water comes from a new source, and it comes into the bay, into the mouth of that thing, opens up into the Dead Sea. And it begins just in the very beginning. There's a little bit of life where the fish and the crawdads and the turtles and they begin to get into what was a Dead Sea. But that sea is being made alive by the fresh water. Can you say amen? And so life that is in the river begins to come into the Dead Sea. So it's no longer dead there, but it's alive. And it's supporting new life. Say new life. And as that sea continues to push itself, to dump itself out into a Dead Sea, the Dead Sea is transformed with new life. Where you couldn't catch a fish, you can. Where you couldn't see algae, you can. Where the water was murky and ugly, now it's clear and beautiful. See, that is a picture of humanity. That is a picture of us. We are the Dead Sea. And the water, the fresh river, is the Holy Spirit that Jesus has poured into His body. Now listen, and it begins to change us. Where we were dead on the inside, we start to become alive. Where we couldn't support anything but ourselves, and that not very well. Now strength comes inside of even our mortal bodies, the Word of God says. If the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if He lives in He'll give the God kind of life even to your mortal flesh. Praise the Lord. So something on the inside. Now that life of God, that river of life is flowing into us. Now we're not to be a reservoir. We're not to hold it up, but we're to let it flow out into the Dead Sea, because rivers of living water are supposed to flow out of our innermost being. So those who are thirsty can come and drink, and those who are sick can come and be healed, and those who are demonically oppressed can be set free. Not by you, you have the authority, but it's the river of life flowing through you. Praise the Lord. You can see that river of life in creation. You can see that river of life in the Scripture. You can see that river of life in Jesus. And I pray that you'll be able to see that river of life inside of you. I remember I was in Bible school, and this guy came up one time and he said, you know, we're supposed to be a fountain of the life of God. We're supposed to be a river of the life of God. He said, but most of us Christians, we dam up the river and we don't let it out. And when you dam up the river on the inside and you don't release it into the sea of humanity, the water itself will become lifeless and it'll be tainted by you. Because it's not all for you. It's for creation around you. It's for the people around you. It's for brothers and sisters that aren't saved. So there's something on the inside that's trying to break free through you. And if he's flowing through you, that very life that raised Jesus from the dead will even begin to change the molecular structure of your mortal body, your body that is subject to death. See, we carry around, if we've been baptized in Christ, we carry around the death of Christ all day long so that the life of God would be revealed in our bodies. Oh, come on. See, we are more than conquerors in this life. We're not here just to get along and make it. We are here to conquer and to take over and bring the life of God into the Dead Sea of humanity. Can you say amen? Oh, but if you can't see the humanity of Jesus, then somewhere in your mind you'll put the life of God that is supposed to be in you off to somebody else. A cleaner vessel. Well, you know, one that God would be proud to promote. One that doesn't make mistakes and one that doesn't have scars and one that doesn't have a past. Well, hold on now. If that's the kind of person God would choose, then he would choose no one on this earth. But he knew before the foundation of the world some of the things that you could face, some of the things that you could be going through. And he found a way that he could come into this earth and become like you so he could be your great high priest with compassion and love towards your weaknesses. To not look around them, but to look through them with eyes of love and acceptance. We call that grace. So if you see Jesus with dirty feet, you see Jesus with spaghetti sauce on his white robe. Like Caleb said the other day, he saw Jesus with a piece of cookie crumb in his beard. I said, now you're getting it. Because if you can see the humanity of Jesus and look through the eyes of grace and love and see God inside of him, now you can begin to maybe see God inside of you. And you can never walk above a place, or you can't walk in a place that you can't see. And I'm not talking with your natural eyes. You have to begin to see Jesus, the river of life, in you by the same Spirit that he was speaking of in John chapter 14. He said, now, listen, these words I'm saying, they're not my own. I speak by the authority of the Father. And what I'm doing, I'm not doing it by my strength. I'm doing it by his strength. Okay, common things I can do. I can bring the fork to my mouth. I can break bread. Okay, I can do those kind of things. I can pour into a glass. I can do those kind of things. But now, these other things, I'm not doing those by my own authority. The natural things I can do. Now, the supernatural things I cannot. But he can through me. And he is doing those things through me. You've seen it yourselves. He's doing it through me. So Jesus says, if you can't believe in the words, then believe in the evidence that I'm leaving behind that you call miracles. And then he says something very, very unique. He says, and you will do greater works than I'm doing because I'm going to the Father.
Amen.
Now, if we can just stay in that vein, if we could just begin to think that way, you could begin to see yourself doing the works that Jesus did. But it's not you doing the works, it's that river of life that is producing the miracles. Praise the Lord. I have never seen a dead battery ever light a flashlight. I have never seen a dead battery ever start a car. The battery requires power, stored up power, so that when it's called upon, it gets released and it produces light, or it turns the starter and turns the engine, or it lights the light bulb. Are you hearing me? You are a, this is not the message I had this morning, but it's good. You are a container. You are a reservoir, in a sense, with an outlet. The outlet is right here. Come on. The outlet is right here. You're not the power, but you're a partaker of the divine nature of God if Christ lives in you. And if you're a partaker of the divine nature of God, He must begin to change you from the inside. How many of you know that the changes that you're going through in your life are taking place first in here? Now, if any of you came off the street like, you know, I feel like I did, I was so rough in some places. And I remember the first 10 years, I kept saying to God, God, why can't people see who I am inside of my heart? And He said, you keep getting in the way. But I'd been changed on the inside. It took a while for that change on the inside to begin to work its way to the outside. It's quite a bit like this church. People come by, and people who may not, you know, like the God stuff and the Jesus stuff, you know, they say things like, we're not getting anything done. That this church is just in shambles, and we just are barely making our payments, and we're going under, and all kinds of weird, freaky, no-nonsense kind of stuff. But listen, the change is taking place on the inside. Long before the floor was finished, hey, we had to put new plumbing in. Hey, we had to put new electrical in. We had to put eight HVAC systems in. We had to remove broken glass and put wood back in place that had been rotten. You could see all the way down to the floor here. But see, you can't see that stuff on the outside yet. Real change takes place on the inside. And you don't leave it on the inside. You let it work its way to the outside, so that it can begin to change the things around us, beginning with this section of this city, the center of the city, you know. Let this life of God begin to push its way out of us. Because listen, I'm just about tired of building buildings. I want to build people. That's what I'm called to do, is to build you. Well, you know what? God just took a long time to put some patience in me, because as tough as this is, people's is tougher. They are. Because, you know, you got to work on the inside with them and let Christ be. See, Paul says that I'm in labor again, because I'm praying that Christ would be formed in you. That Jesus, the image of Jesus and the reality of Jesus being in you, is so strong that you realize you don't go anywhere by yourself anymore. That you realize that Jesus is so much a part of you. Not a little 7-inch Jesus sitting on a plastic chair inside the chamber of your ventricle heart there. No, talking about the very nature and the life and the mind and the love and the faith and the power of Jesus living in you. How? The same way God lived inside of Him. And if you can see it now, come on. If you can begin to visualize that, then when you walk into a dark place, you know that you're bringing the light of the world into that dark place. You know that when you walk into a place that is cold, that the one who started the fires of hell and lit the sun is living inside of you. And it's not going to be cold very long. Not because you're something, but because you are someone's. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. And I used to pray something. I pray I don't hear you say it. I said, God, just get me out of the way completely, so they can't see me, but they can only see you. Well, hold on. If that happened, they would never see God inside of themselves. Are you catching it? If I became that Jesus that was promoted by Hollywood, or if I became that Son of God that we see in the old, you know, the beautiful color pictures inside of the old Bibles, if I became that, then what I would do is I would put myself upon a place that was higher than you are, and you would tend to like that, and maybe my ego would like it for a minute or two, but here's what would happen. The things that you would see pastor do, you wouldn't have any concept or idea that you're supposed to be doing them too. So seeing the humanity of who I am and seeing God work through me should bring some encouragement to you that God, I mean, if he could use this, he can use that. I lighten it up for myself because, you know, I tend to be a little bit earthy, I've been told. I can be a little bit crude, I've been told. Praise the Lord. I'm working on that, but I don't want to lose myself either, you know. I just got to be willing to let him use me. And I'm not going to try to hide the fact that, you know, this is who I was and this is who I can be. Without him, I'm no good. Without him, I can't do anything eternal or anything for any length of time. I totally am dependent upon him. But I don't think I was willing, and still am working on being dependent on him to such a point until I could see him inside of me. Why wouldn't Jesus live in you in his fullness? Why wouldn't God live inside of you in his fullness? Why would he? The Word of God says that his God, the fullness of the Godhead, lives inside of us. Wow, I didn't know I had that much room inside of me. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Yeah, in the same way they lived inside of his Son, by his Spirit. By his Spirit. Now hold on. The works that Jesus did, could I possibly do them? The works that Jesus did, could I possibly get close to the things that he did as a man, anointed with the Holy Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit, who was without sin? Come on. Could I possibly, if God inspired me, could I speak to a tree and tell it never to bear fruit again and come back the next day and have see it withered? Well, now, Pastor, you've just gone too far. No, he did. If God told me to walk on water, could I tap into whatever Jesus tapped into? Well, if I don't think along these things, I'll never get there. Come on. And so let's begin by doing the things he told us to do. Lay hands on the sick, see them recover. Huh? Preach the gospel, preach the good news. You know, set those free that are bound up by demons of addiction and pornography and sexual behaviors. Believe God for those things and watch them come to pass. Now, only if God could do that through me, can he do that through you? Yes. Because last time I checked, God's not holding your sin against you, is he? And you're to reckon yourself what to sin? You're to reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to Christ. So if he's not counting your sin against you, then in his eyes you are justified just as if I'd never sinned. You are justified by grace through faith. Have you received his Spirit, yes or no? Have you been born again, yes or no? Are you waiting for it or are you? So you're born again. You're a son of God. You're a co-heir with Jesus. God's Spirit that raised Him from the dead lives in you. So you are, King James would say, you have been made meet. That God is able to use you to do supernatural things. Say supernatural. Supernatural. Would you like to walk in the supernatural? Then walk in the natural super. If you want to walk in the supernatural, then begin to walk in the everyday things that you do with the superpower of God strengthening and empowering you to do natural things. Can you say amen? Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's go to one more scripture before we close, can we? I didn't plan on going that direction. But if you want to write some scriptures down so you can study them out this week? Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 8. Mark chapter 16. And Acts chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Man. God lives in you. God lives in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He says, I came to you in, what does it say in your scripture? Where? I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. And my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. As I was preparing this message today, I realized that we've been preaching just the opposite. In most of the churches today, we say, believe God because it makes sense. But in reality, the Apostle Paul preached, and he said, I don't want your faith to rest in the wisdom of men. I want it to rest in the demonstration of God's power. Because listen, you're asking people to believe by faith that God came down and was in a baby crib and 33 years later was on a cross and died. And then he defeated hell and came back up with the keys of death and Hades and now is seated at the throne of God. That's a little much to gather. That's a little much to assimilate. But if there's a miracle, if there's evidence in your life that you've changed, if there's evidence in your life or the things around you that it's not just you, God's hand is upon you, multiplying and blessing the work of your hands and your labor. Come on. So our message isn't just that this is what happened. There has to be a demonstration of God's power. And it's going to come through you. It's not going to come as a sign and a wonder from above unless you call it. It's going to come through you because God lives in you. Can you say amen? All right, turn to this scripture, would you please? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, this is verse 6, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Now verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I'd love to say, hey, you guys are all vessels of gold and silver. Shine ourselves up. But the reality is, I want you to focus on the clay, on your flesh. Your flesh is not bad, it's just weak. Because the strength that raised Jesus from the dead is giving God's life to your flesh. And that's evidence. The way you hold yourself, your attitude, your posture, the words that come out of your mouth. And yes, even that glow that we saw in the movies about Jesus. There's something different about you because something's on the inside radiating its way to the outside, changing you day by day. That's why you don't look like your brother who's not born again. He looks older. He looks harder. A vessel, a clay vessel made from this earth. You have this treasure. Now, here's the thing. This is to show that God's all-surpassing power, this power is from Him, not from you. Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, hold on. If you can't believe because of what I say, so look, I'm happier than I was when I was 20. I'm content. You know, the things I touch, they don't fall apart. Actually, we put them back together. We're the restorer of walls and buildings and people. Because something's on the inside of me that's inside of you. And we're attempting not just to transform a building, but a people. I wrote this morning and said, but we have this treasure, this miracle-working ability of God in these jars of clay. Look at your hand. Your cuticles might not be pretty. Helping stain this up here. You might even have some brown stuff under it. Look at it though. You don't have to go get a manicure for God to live inside of that hand. You don't have to be all pretty. But I'm telling you what, the more you see Christ in you as He's formed in you, something happens. You get prettier. I've been watching. Some of you were butt ugly when you came in. Now you're pretty nice to look at. There's something on the inside is pressing its way out. Would you guys bow your heads and we'll pray? Father, I thank you for your resurrection life. God, to know the power of your resurrection, intimately to know it within our members of our flesh, within the chambers of our mind. Let this change that you're working in each one of us that causes us to strive to be better and to be more. Father, thank you for it. But God, help it press its way out. Fill us with your strength. Fill us with your life. As your word says, strengthen us in our inner man. Cause us to be the light on a hill. Calls us to be the life to other men. And Father, as we've received your Holy Spirit, let rivers of living water flow out of us to the thirsty, to the dying, and to the dead sea of humanity that need the resurrection life. God, I pray over these that are here this morning. Christ is formed in them in a great and a mighty way. In the matchless name of Jesus.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.